Okay, good afternoon. It's 10 past, so let's begin. Glad to see there's so much interest in the lecture about the exam. So welcome for the final time to the INF2B course. And today won't be a standard lecture, as I say. We're just going to do a quick review and some advice about the exam and revision and the like. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to address them insofar as I can. So first of all, and of course I'm speaking only about the ANDS thread of the course. The learning part is Steve's responsibility, and it's for him to speak about it. So the aim of this part is partly to introduce you to some of the basic algorithms of your subject, and only a small number of them, but ones which are fundamental, and I hope you've appreciated the need for, say, efficient sorting algorithms, the need for good algorithms of graph searching, the usefulness of various data structures, the usefulness of things like heaps and so on, and through those also to illustrate various design techniques. So, what are our concerns in trying to make something efficient? Any fool can come up with an algorithm. Well, as long as they're not an absolute fool, but it's easy enough to come up with algorithms. But to come up with good algorithms takes rather more than just, foolishness. Okay. So that's what's been the subject for one part. Of course, the other part has been to say, well, given competing algorithms for a task, how do you assess them? How do you compare them? And that's necessitated us looking at appropriate notions of comparison, and we chose to go with worst case runtime for various reasons. One is, and not least of which, is the fact that that notion is one that we can analyze reasonably well in most situations. Okay, so it would be no good to say we want to know the exact runtime, the exact number of operations you do. You're never going to manage to analyze except the most trivial algorithms. Okay, so we settled on saying, well, we'll go for worst case runtime, and we'll accept an asymptotic idea of what the runtime is. So what's the growth rate? Okay, and we argued why that is the one realistic aim to have. The constants depend on so many other things that you can't hope to have an analysis that's going to last more than a few months, if that, given the way that technology behaves. And in any case, it would depend on things like compilers and God knows what, which are not really under your control. Okay. But the asymptotic growth rate is, and that does give you some very, very useful information. Okay. And so, of course, to do that analysis, we need appropriate tools. And the appropriate tools here are things like the big O notation, big omega notation, big theta notation, that kind of thing. And although it takes a little bit of effort to get used to them, those who put in the effort should by now have appreciated that that effort is more than amply rewarded. Okay. Trying to analyze without those tools is a fool's game. You're just not going to succeed other than in the most trivial cases. Okay. So that's been the kind of thread of the course. And we've looked also at various styles of analysis. We've looked at basically iterative algorithms where you have maybe nested for loops, which carry out some stuff in the body of the loops. We've looked at recursive style, which comes about mostly as the result of divide and conquer approaches to designing algorithms. And we've looked at various mixtures of the two. Okay, so I hope that that's come through clear. I haven't spent a great deal of time on general design philosophy about algorithms because I think the best way to learn these design approaches is to look at successful examples and abstract from those. So that's been the aim. And those who followed the course steadily should by now have a reasonably good idea of how they might approach the design of something. As long as it's not widely more complicated than what we have already, then you should be in a good position to do the necessary minor variation to produce your own design for some similar situation. Okay. And that's the most that one is looking for here. Okay. The design of algorithms becomes incredibly tough, incredibly complicated, pretty quickly. We haven't gone there. Okay, we're not going to go there now. Okay, But you know, we haven't learned everything there is to learn about algorithms, by no means. We've just started on the basics. Okay. But you've got to start somewhere. Okay. So I hope that's kind of clear as to what the course has been about. Okay. Okay, so moving on to, are there any questions on that section? Just basically general kind of discussion? Or is that, should be reasonably clear, I hope. But if you have a question at any time, just put your hand up and I'll come to you, okay? So moving on to the process of examination, which we have to carry out. First of all, the exam is in two sections, just as in the last 2 years. So section A is the A and the S part. Section B is the learning part. And each section has three questions, and you answer two out of three questions for each section. So you get a choice of two out of three questions. Okay, that gives you half an hour for each question. It's a two-hour exam, so four questions. If you want to do all four questions, then that's half an hour each, which is not a huge amount of time. But it is enough time to have a good attempt at each question. Okay. Now, every year somebody says, well, if I had more time, I could have done better. Well, yes. You know, you haven't quite understood the concept of an exam. You know, it's true, if you had more time and you could take the books and you could have internet access and you could talk to a mate, you could have done better. But that ain't the point of an exam, right? Yes. Now, somebody who really fully understands the course can get a high mark. And if I look at, say, what happened last year, I can't discuss actual figures because that's Board of Examiners information which I'm not at liberty to discuss. But there was a pleasing number of students who got quite high marks. You know, the proportion was, to my mind, about right, actually. And then there was a good number of students who got marks in the kind of middle range, and a smaller number of students that unfortunately got marks in the sort of pass range, but not exactly anything to boast about, but they passed. And then there was a tail of students, not a huge number, but a tail, who failed and absolutely, totally deserved to fail, right? There is absolutely no reason to fail this exam unless you want to, okay? I put it to you that that's not a good aim to have, okay? Let me convince you that that's true, okay? Certainly I'm speaking about the A and the S part, but you know, Steve can speak for the learning part. So in the questions that you will see, each question has, as one part of it, allocated roughly between 44 to 50 or so percent of the marks to basically book work or something very close to that, something that, you know, if you've got the slightest understanding of the course, you can answer, right? Okay. If you can't answer that bit quickly, then I'm sorry, you deserve to fail, right? You know, just no bones about it, you know, yes? I've got to tell it like it is, yes? Now, that set of marks is enough to pass the question. The pass mark, remember, is 40%. So if we take it on a question-by-question basis, if I'm giving you between 44 to 50% of the marks on that kind of straightforward thing, which is basically, what do you know, okay, then that's a comfortable margin, you've passed the question. Okay. The rest of it is now, what can you do with what you know? And that requires, you know, obviously, deeper knowledge, deeper ability, quicker response rate. Okay. Now, not everybody's going to be able to do the whole of one question. That's fine. You know, if somebody does, say, three quarters of a question and gets everything pretty much okay, you know, the odd slip, but, you know, basically okay, that's quite a good mark. You know, that's going to get you a decent, very good mark to pass that question. Okay. So the general advice is the following. When you're in the exam, I know it's a stressful situation. Nobody wants to be there, but you've got to be. Okay. I'm sorry. And if it makes you feel any better, I've got to mark all those scripts. Okay. So think of that. Okay. It'll be close to 200 of them this year. You won't believe it looking at this room, but it's close to 200. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that. You know, that's going to make my day. Well, days, actually. So you can't do it in a day. But anyway, whatever. I mustn't grumble, but I will. Okay. So, you're in there. Select question number one that you want to do. Okay. And start on it, right? But keep an eye on the clock. If it's coming up to half an hour, consider closing off this bit now. If you're just finishing some part, fine, finish that. But now consider moving on to your second question. Okay. By all means, leave some space to come back to this if you get time. Okay. But don't get stuck on a question. Right. Your optimal strategy is to move on. Okay. Hint. Remember what I've said about, you know, the first part of the question is the kind of easy, straightforward, quick marks, yes? You want to grab those as quickly as you can, you know? Your only strategy in the exam, this is the only time I ever say this to students, is your only aim in the exam is to maximize your score, okay? That's it. So be totally ruthless about it, okay? Don't let pride get in the way. I should be able to do this. Fine, but if you can't, just move on for Christ's sake. Don't hang about, okay? And remember, we ask you to use separate books for parts A and B. That's just so that Steve and I can mark in parallel. So, you know, we can then give the marks to the ITO. There's a lot of information to process. So do please use the two books that are provided for you. But you don't have to answer section A first and section B second. Make Steve do a lot of marking, you know, to section B. No, okay, to be fair, you know, do whatever you feel comfortable with. Okay, so you might feel comfortable doing one section and then the other, or you might want to just do, you know, one question from section A, one from B, or vice versa, and then, you know, just whatever you feel is optimal for you, right? Don't feel you've got to sit there and do, oh, A, then B, if that's not your best performance, okay? Just swap books, it's easy enough, okay? If you forget to swap books, don't worry, we'll take care of it, but please try to remember that. It just makes life a lot easier for everybody, okay? On the front of the book, you're asked to write down which questions you've attempted. Just write the question number, not the part numbers. I get some people who write question A, subpart 1, subpart 2. Don't bother with that. Just Q1, Q2, Q2, Q3. That's all you need to write down. If you forget that, don't worry. I'll write it down for you. It just helps if I know which ones I should be marking for you. Okay, but, you know, so don't waste time filling in, you know, the very minutely detailed information which I ignore, right? Okay, just Q1, Q2, whatever it is. Yeah, that's it. Okay. All right, so those are all kind of straightforward bureaucratic things, but they're important things to remember. Keep an eye on the clock. Close off what you're doing just now if it's coming up to half an hour or 35 minutes. Move on. Okay. Come back if you've got time. Really important. Okay. Now, let's just have a look at a bit of last year's example. I'm not going to go through all of this because there's no point. Okay, I just want to make some comments which I hope will help you further. Okay. So the first thing to point out is this note here about if you need to describe an algorithm, either it's one you've designed as part of a question or it's one from the notes, okay, feel free to describe it either in pseudocode, if that's your best way of doing it, or in English, or a mixture of the two, whatever is most comfortable for you, but make sure that your description is clear so I can see the algorithm. Okay. You can't, you know, pretend you know it by being vague. If you're vague, I will also give you vague marks, as in reduce, okay? Yeah, you know? But, you know, sometimes it's much easier to describe an algorithm in English because trying to describe all the variables, etc., just gets in the way of the main idea, right? Other times, it's a lot simpler to do it in pseudocode. Okay, choose whatever is best for you, okay? So feel free to do that. There's no extra credit or less credit to be gained by choosing one or other method. Right. That means exactly what it says on the page. Okay. Let's just look at question one from this exam for last year. Now, the first thing that will strike you is this looks like a very long question. So let me go through it, just scroll through it, and I'll come back. Okay. So there's one, A, B, C, D, and D is split into several subparts. Isn't that hugely long? Well, no, actually, I'm being very, very kind to you. Why? Because I'm actually giving you a way to pace yourself. I could make it shorter, it would just, the same question, it would be more difficult, okay? All I'm doing is splitting it up into doable subparts and say, do this, do this, do this, do this, yeah, okay? That's all I'm doing, okay? It does mean there's a penalty of reading the text, but it doesn't take that much time to read the text, okay? And it favors you in terms of, you know, giving you a chance to pace yourself with this. Let's just go through this now and see if I can convince you of what I'm saying, okay? So look at part question 1A, that's a real tough one, isn't it? Okay, now, I put it to you that anybody who walks into this exam not knowing big O, big omega, big theta, just really shouldn't pass, you know? I mean, come on, you know, yeah? And what do you answer for this? Now, again, I kid you not, I have had people take up to 3/4 of a page to answer that. Really? Yeah. And then they complain they run out of time. I said, well, I should bloody well think so. You know? The question says, define. It doesn't say explain, right? Remember, when I introduced the big O notation, I took quite a bit of time over to make sure you all understood it and gave you various ways of seeing it and so on, right? I'll give you some bit of news. I understand the definition, okay? The question says define, it doesn't say explain. So don't give me all the stuff about settling in period, graphs, etc. Just give me the 1.5 lines it takes to write out the formal definition. That's all you need to write down. How long does it take to write 1.5 lines or 2 lines? Let's be generous, 2 lines, okay? Writing at normal speed, what's that, 20 seconds? I haven't timed it. Maybe one of you can do the experiment. We should do that someday. Get everybody to write it down and take the average. 30 seconds, that's really slow. Yeah, that's it, 3 marks, okay? Right. If you haven't grabbed those 3 marks within 20 seconds, you aren't serious about passing this exam, are you? You know, really. Now, a word of warning. Get the inequality the right way round. You put it the wrong way around, 0. Okay. Because really, I mean, you know, for God's sake, yeah, you know, yes. If you make another slip in the range and so on, the end 0, etc., I'll deduct a little bit. But if you get the inequality the wrong way around, you're gone. Okay? Get it right. You should be able to. I mean, come on, you know. Tough, isn't it? Tough. I know. Now, part B. Look at part B. It's not exactly bookwork, but really, all it's saying is, if you have the slightest clue about the meaning of this notation, show me that you can work with it following this very simple bit of information. Okay. Take a little bit of care. Part 4 is slightly tricky. Okay. So, you know, before you answer true, false, true, whatever you're going to answer, just think a little bit about it, but it shouldn't take more than that. If you've done the tutorial exercises and so on, it really, you know, somebody who's understood the course, understood the notation, really understands it, can just go 5 marks. Isn't that good? I'm too kind, just too soft. Okay. Why 5? There's only 4 parts. Well, you get an extra mark if you get them all correct. Right. Isn't that, that's really kind, you know, I think I'm just too soft. Okay. Of course, the converse is, if you make one mistake, the penalty is 2. There's always, yeah, so take care, okay? Right, and there's no pass into what's true or false. Don't study past exams and say, oh, it's always true, false, or false, true, false. It's, you know, there's no pattern. I can't even remember if it ever occurs, you know, just put them down and say, oh, is this true or is it false? Yeah. Note, you do not need to justify your answers. So don't waste time justifying it, okay? If your answer is correct, I'll give you the marks. If it's incorrect, I will not give you the marks. End of story. Yeah? So don't waste your time. Okay? In other words, do what the question asks. If you're going to get the marks, you're going to get them anyway. You'll not get more by justifying your answer. I'll just ignore the justification when I'm marking. I haven't got time. No. Yes? Okay? I hope that's making you feel better. I'm convinced you that these are really quite straightforward, quick marks to get. Okay. Part C, well, that's really tough, that one. Basically, if you read that, what it's asking you is simplify the following notation for me. Here we are. Okay, I'll show you how tough this part is. It's saying you want to simplify the following expression. Wow, that's a real nasty. Okay, that's all it's saying if you read it. Okay, but you've got to explain to me how you add this notation. That takes a line. Okay, the body of the loop costs big O of n plus big O of n to the half, which is equal to what? Big O of n. This is executed big O of n times, so the overall cost is big O of n times big O of n, which is equal to big O of n squared. End of story. 2.5, 3 lines. How many marks? God, 4 marks, oh dear, right? Okay, so far, we have 3 plus 5, I hope I get this right. Okay, check my arithmetic. That's 12 marks, okay? That's nearly half the marks for the question. Now, somebody who is at the top of their game can do this in about 5-6 minutes. Doesn't take any longer than that, really, if you think about it. Yeah. First bit, 20 seconds. Second bit, 1 minute maximum. Third bit, you've got to read the text, a couple of minutes. How long does it take to work out? About 30 seconds. Okay. But that's somebody who really is absolutely firing on all cylinders and knows what they're doing. Yeah. Okay. That's, you know, that's the reward for truly understanding the course. Okay. And now we enter the part that says, show me what you can do with what you know. Okay. I regard the first part as basically saying, what do you know? I mean, if somebody who cannot do those bits in the early part hasn't understood the slightest thing about the notation and how to handle it. Okay. But this part, again, is reasonably straightforward, to be honest. You know, the pseudocode here is something you've basically seen. It's not exactly identical, but you've seen that kind of thing in the course. Okay. And, you know, just saying state the recurrence, well, you know, it's not exactly rocket science, you know. Even if you forget the exact place where you saw a similar thing and the exact expression there, you know, it doesn't take a genius to work out what it ought to be, right? Yeah. State the master theorem, so that's obviously just book work. And again, you know, somebody who walks into the exam not knowing that theorem isn't serious about passing. I mean, you know, yeah. And then apply it. God, that's really tough, isn't it? You know, God, it's a nasty. And that's 4 marks, right? So we've got up to what, 19 marks, you know. I think it's too easy myself, but hey, you know, I don't mind, okay. I hope I'm convincing you that the question, although it looks really long, is actually not a nasty question. It's only long because I'm pacing your answers for you, saying do this, now do that, now do that, now do that, okay, yeah. And a student who, as I say, has thoroughly understood the course, can basically just, you know, whiz through it, really. I mean, you've got to take a little bit of time not to make silly slips. So, you know, don't just go, oh, yeah, this is not a macho thing, okay? You know, you're not there to show me, oh, yeah, I can really, you know, I can go fast. I don't care, right? I want you to go correctly, okay? And you've got half an hour. Right? Now, okay, many students may get up to, let's say, this bit, and now the clock has got up to half an hour, right? What is that such a disaster? How many marks are remaining? 6 marks out of 25. Okay. Now, if somebody's answered all those preceding parts, maybe they made a couple of slips or three or so, you know, that's still leaving up about 15, 16 marks up for grabs out of 25. Okay. That's not exactly a bad performance. It's not outstanding, but, you know, that's not terrible. Okay. Of course, much better if you get 4 marks, but, you know, let's be realistic. Not everybody can do that. All right. Yeah. So, although it looks like a long question, I put it to you that it is that better? Sorry, yeah. It's not a terribly, actually, I should have done full screen mode, shouldn't I? I forgot. Just do that, maybe. Oh, no, that's no good. No, I shouldn't have done that, should I? Okay, that's better, sorry. I knew there was a reason why I didn't put it in full screen mode, but I forgot. Okay. Yep, we're back to that. Okay. Any questions on what I've said so far? Shall I tell you the question you should be asking? What's examinable in the course? Yeah. Ah, there. As you already knew the answer. What's in the notes and what was in the tutorial exercises? Okay. But let me also reassure you that I am not going to set trick questions, right? Doesn't interest me. All the questions are straightforward questions. Okay? There might be a subtlety you have to notice, and that's testing deeper understanding. But there's no kind of, oh, I'm going to catch you out kind of thing. Okay? It's you know, not interested in that. Okay? What you get asked is something which is reasonably straightforward, but you have to see that. Okay? And the more you understood the course, the easier it is for you to see that. If you are asked to design an algorithm of your own, it's not going to be something horrendously complicated. Okay? It will have a reasonably straightforward design, but you have to see it. And very often, the runtime I ask you to meet is a big clue about the design of the algorithm. Okay? If I ask you to design an algorithm, if the first part of the question is about graphs, let's say, okay, right, and I've asked you about searching a graph, etc. Okay, and then the second part of the question says, consider the following problem, blah, 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 whatever that may be. Design an algorithm that runs in time order m plus n. Well, guess what kind of algorithm you might want to consider as a variant, you know, for this design, yeah? You know, think about a search method and adding a variation to it to meet the required, to solve the required problem. It's not exactly, deep stuff, is it? Right? Don't do what some people do, which is to start writing down some random kind of notion of looking through the graph and adding more and more random notions about, you know, follow this edge, follow that, oh, and if that doesn't happen, do this, oh, and if that happens, do this. Oh, and if it's a wet Tuesday, you know, go to the pub and then come back, and when it's dry, follow this vertex. That's not going to get you an algorithm, you know. You don't get an algorithm by just randomly writing down things, you know. That would deserve to get nothing, right? You know, if the algorithm is going to be based on some clear idea, state your idea briefly, and then explain it a little bit more, okay? You're not going to convince me by writing your whole life story about it. If your algorithm is correct, it can be described quite briefly, right? You're not going to make a pile of manure into a pile of diamonds by adding more and more manure, right? You know, if I'm not too impolite here. Okay? You may substitute your own words for this, but, you know, okay? Yeah, you get my point, right? All that does is just waste time for you. Okay, so that's the kind of thing to consider. You know, if it says, oh, there's two quantities m and n, and I want you to design an algorithm that runs in time order mn, let's say, for the sake of argument, okay? Well, you know, isn't that some kind of clue that maybe it's like a loop that runs maybe m times and it in the body of the loop costs order n time? Or maybe the other way around, but you know, yeah. There's a big clue there, isn't there? Right? If the first part of the question is maybe about queues or stacks or whatever, then maybe they're a useful thing to use later on in the question, you know. Maybe they help you to design the algorithm, right? That kind of thing, you know. The question isn't going to suddenly change course completely, right? So those are things that you should bear in mind. If, however, you can't see the design, don't hang about, you know, move on. Even if it's not half an hour yet, you know, if you're getting close, you think, yeah, I'm just not going to get this. All right, move on. All right, get something else, you know. Because I'll tell you one thing. When it comes to getting your exam mark, it's just the total that counts, right? So if you didn't quite get something you feel you should have got, all right, well, you know, it's not the end of the world. You know, learn from it, move on, yeah? Very important, really important for you. Trying to think if there was another point I wanted to make to you. No, I think that covers pretty much all the common errors that I do see. Do try to write legibly. Okay, I know you're writing under pressure. Okay, and I'm not looking for beautiful calligraphic script. Okay, but if I can't read your writing, I can't give you the marks. You know, so there's a kind of, but, you know, it's got to be really bad writing before I can't read it. But, you know, don't just suddenly degenerate into a complete scrawl so I can't possibly understand what you're saying. Okay? That won't benefit you, and it will leave me in an impossible position. I can't award marks for something which I can't even decipher. Okay? It would, you know, what could I do? Okay? So, you know, try to write at your comfortable pace. Don't panic, right? If you make a mess of one question, just move on to the others. Okay, again, you know, things like that can happen even with the best prepared people. You just somehow you just have a bad session with this thing. Okay, well, you know, all right, just don't let it panic you. Calmly move on to the next thing and start afresh. Okay, it happens to, you know, most people at least once, right? So don't get upset, just move on and start again. Very important. Okay. Right, so I think we should see if there are any questions following that discussion. Very happy to answer any questions you may have. Or everybody happy? or something close to it, shall we say. Okay, the final thing to say is that, I think I mentioned it last time, but I'll mention it now. There will be a kind of, what you might call a revision session or a chance to ask questions about having revised your notes. If there's something outstanding that you want to ask about, then Steve and I will arrange a session sometime during the break. We need to compare when we're both available and when we can get a room big enough to house. It's always a big turnout for that for some reason. I don't know why, but you're surprised how big the class is. Says he somewhat sarcastically to the wrong people. But anyway, we can share a joke. It's not been recorded, so we can share a joke about it, okay? Yeah. So, and we'll announce that by an email to the class list. So if you look out for that in due course. I'm not sure how soon we can arrange it, but I'll speak to Steve as soon as I can, and we'll try to compare notes and see when we can actually. Of course, it's got to be leave enough time for you to have a chance to revise your course. Okay. So there was one more point. I was just trying to play for time to remember the other point I was going to make, which is, in some cases, the algorithms that we've discussed are quite kind of complicated. Now, if you think about, the external merge sort of algorithm that we looked at in connection with the web, where you use the external disks and so on. If you read the pseudocode, it's got all those kind of numbers, etc. Yeah. I wouldn't ask you to give all that information. What I would be looking for is the actual overall design idea of external merge. So what's that? The use of two separate disks which get swapped around as input and output, the putting in of blocks consecutively into memory so they fit. You leave enough memory so you can do the merging, write out to disk when you've filled that bit, etc. Yeah. It's that level of detail I would be looking at. You know, I'm not looking for the very low level detail, which, you know, okay, you should know it, but, you know, quite frankly, that's very low level, and I don't regard it as terribly important that somebody remembers it. I think they should know about it and know where to go and find it, or if forced to work it out for themselves. But under an exam, I don't regard that as being, you know, the key thing. And similar to that, in some sections we have data structures which have quite a lot of things associated to them. Rather than say, okay, here's the data structure, describe all the methods, what I would tend to do is say, okay, consider the following data structure, recall it has these methods, now describe them. Okay, so that's a kind of prompt to your memory. Okay, I also say, I'm just too kind, but okay. One of these days I'm going to learn to be cruel, but yeah. Okay, I think that's the last thing I have to say. Final chance if you have any questions just now, otherwise we'll finish there, and I wish you success. Ah, okay, yes.
Can you show us the vein of the other two questions?
Sorry,
Can you show us the vein of what the other two questions are like?
Well, you can look them up online, they're not a secret, okay.
I was wondering if you have any other comments
about. Not really, I mean, it's pretty much similar comments that, you know, the early parts are the kind of bookwork typing, and then it's getting you to do something with related, yes. So it's, that's why I haven't gone through them, because there's, I'm not going to do the questions as such, and whatever I say about these is pretty much the same as the others, you know, in terms of strategy. Yeah. So the other two questions on this one were, so this is kind of more general kind of question, okay? And then the other two are more focused on particular areas. I forget, one was hashing and the other was graphs, for example. But it could be anything in the exam, okay? Yeah. But the comments I've made apply pretty much the same to all the questions, which is why I haven't through that. I hope that does that kind of answer your question in a sense, you know. Yeah. So I'm not trying to be difficult, it's just, I think it doesn't help, you know. It just adds more time, but.
When the coursework marks will be published?
Well, I know that the TA is busily marking the current submission, and it's a lot of marking to do, so I've said to him that, you know, if it's done within 3 weeks, that's great, but 4 weeks would be acceptable, so, because, you know, we don't want to do it in a great rush, and, you know, so as soon as possible is the real answer. I will ask the either the TA or the ITO to send out an email saying when it's available so you can collect it. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, let's finish now, and thank you very much for your attention, and I wish you success in all your exams. Thank you very much. Okay, so. Thank you.